Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Because civil rights laws were passed. Black mayors, black governors, members of Congress serve in places where they might once have been able not just to vote, but even take a sip of water.
President Obama, from his NAACP speech at the New York Hilton last night, but the civil rights laws didn't fix everything.
We know that even as we imprison more people of all races than any nation in the world, an African-American child is roughly five times as likely as a white child to see the inside of a prison.
Another example.
We know that even as spiraling health care costs crush families of all races, African Americans are more likely to suffer from a host of diseases, but less likely to own health insurance than just about anybody else.
But inequality isn't just other people's fault anymore, said the president.
On the 45th anniversary of the Civil Rights Act, discrimination cannot stand. Not on account of color or gender, how you worship, or who you love.
All right. And so President Obama saying that discrimination still does stand. Let's hear what else he said.
I stand here tonight.
This is not the order I gave you.
On the shoulders of giants.
I don't know what happened to you.
And I'm here to say thank you to those pioneers and thank you to the NAACP.
Listeners, any reactions to the speech? Our phones are open at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. One of the most interesting clips from the speech, and we'll get this ready for you, was when he said, we need to go back to the time, back to the day when parents saw somebody, some kid fooling around, and it wasn't their child, but they'll whoop you anyway. Did you hear that part? And then he also talked about he used the phrase no excuses, and I think this is actually going to go down in history as Obama's no excuses speech. He said, no one has written your destiny for you. Your destiny is in your hands, and don't you forget that. That's what we have to teach all of our children, no excuses. African Americans in particular, how did this week make you feel about the NAACP? And what thoughts did the president's speech provoke in you about civil rights past or present? Structural inequalities that still exist, or about personal responsibility and community responsibility and this idea of no excuses. Have you all heard this all before? Did you hear the clip on the BBC just before we started of someone who wrote in saying, I'm tired of being scolded by Barack Obama? 212-433-9692. And with me now, University of Maryland law professor Sherilyn Ifill, author of On the Courthouse Lawn, Confronting the Legacy of Lynching in the 21st Century. Hi, Professor Ifill. Welcome back to WNYC. Professor Ifill, I'm not sure we can hear you. Are you there? All right. We're going to get her line up. But our calls are coming in. Our lines are already full. So many of you want to react to the president's evocative and probably historic speech last night at 212-433-WNYC. Let me try one more time. Oh, I know. Maybe if I press this button. Let's see. Can you put her on? Do we need to put her on tel one? Professor Ifill, are you there? Okay. I can't hear her. I don't know if she can hear me. Professor Ifill, one more time. All right. Not yet. You know what? Let's go back to some more. Well, let's see if we can take some phone calls. Is Brandon in Queens there? Brandon, do we have you? All right. We're having some telephone problems that we will fix. In the meantime, let's see. Do we have any more clips from the speech that we can go to right now? Any clips available? Maybe we can get that whoop clip going. Let's see. And
because of their efforts, I made a little trip to Springfield, Illinois a couple of years ago, where Lincoln once lived and race riots once raged, and began the journey that has led me to be here tonight as the 44th president of the United States of America.
All right, more from the president. And even more from the president.
The most difficult barriers include structural inequalities that our nation's legacy of discrimination has left behind. Inequalities still plaguing too many communities and too often the object of national neglect.
That was one of the most interesting clips to me, the structural inequalities. That's something that I think gets overlooked a fair amount, that the civil rights laws may have been passed. There may not be the overt official inequality that there was in the past, but there is a long legacy, as the president said, of structural inequalities. And I think Professor Ifill can hear me now. Are you there? We can't hear her. My apologies, folks. We will get this right. You know, I was at the Democratic Convention last year, and I heard how intense the reaction was to his lines about responsible parenting and turning off the television. Louder and longer applause to that than anything about how bad Bush was or anything else. And it happened again last night. You saw it if you were there. You saw it if you were watching it on television. Maybe you heard it on our live coverage. But do you think many African Americans were rolling their eyes last night, saying, here we go again, another Bill Cosby lecture about my parenting that I don't need? Were you reacting that way? Tell you what, post to our webpage, and even if we never get the phones working again today, we will be able to read a zillion of your web comments. But of course, we'll get this working in just a second. But post to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, and react to whether that was the right tone for the president to take, and if you've heard it all before, or whatever. Now, let's see. Priya from Brooklyn writes, Bill Cosby inferred similar views about 3 years ago and was derided over them. Other than Barack Obama becoming president, what has changed in the U.S. to make it okay to make similar statements to be made now? Somebody else asks, is Sherilyn Ifill, our guest, once we get the phones working again, Gwen's sister? We'll definitely ask her that question. And somebody else writes, I have not been able to listen to the speech, but I've not been able to find the full transcript either. It's all over the web, but so you can find it. It is a pity because it seems that once again some media and some people with personal agendas are taking snippets of Obama's speech out of context to make their own hay. Now let's see what they think the hay is. Are we being Pollyanna-ish in believing that simply because we now have a president with some African ancestry who is not afraid to address some unpleasant truths, that all racism, suspicion, animosity, indolence, and ignorance have been obliterated? I don't think he was making that case, but it's a reasonable question. At times, writes this listener, it seems as if all we have managed to do, regardless of color, class, or creed, is to shove our collective distrusts and shames deeper into the closet under a pile of fake smiles and sterile mannerisms. Provocative thought. Listeners, do you agree with that? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Is Bob Henley in the building? Yeah, we're gonna talk about Obama in New Jersey with Bob Henley, who's here in the building, since we can't get Professor Ifill on the phone right now. But we're going to try one more time. Professor Ifill, do we have you now? No. WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. Gianni from Huntington posted that last comment that I read. Do you take that from, if not from the president's speech itself, then from the conversations that people are having around the speech? Does it seem to you, as Giovanni put it, that maybe all we have managed to do, regardless of color, class, or creed, is to shove our collective distrusts and shames deeper into the closet under a pile of fake smiles and sterile mannerisms in the Barack Obama era? Go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, and post your reaction to that and your reaction to Priya in Brooklyn's comment. From the very top of our comments page, you'll see it there, and tell us, do you feel the same way, especially if you're an African-American parent? She asked, other than Barack Obama becoming president, what has changed in the U.S. to make it okay to make the same statements that Bill Cosby made at this time? Maybe it was the way Cosby made them. Maybe it was because he was saying, you know, have the money for the pound cake. You don't steal the pound cake. Remember that? He didn't couch it in that famous speech in terms of the legacy of structural inequality that still exists, or how he stood on the shoulders of the giants of the NAACP, and that he was here to say thank you to those pioneers, and all the other stuff that the president said. Do we have one more clip? Let's listen to the president one more time.
The state of our schools is not an African-American problem. It is an American problem. Because if black and brown children cannot compete, then America cannot compete.
That was so good, we should hear another one, don't you think?
No one has written your destiny for you. Your destiny is in your hands. You cannot forget that. That's what we have to teach all of our children. No excuses.
There it is. That was the no excuses clip. And people in the media are already referring to this as the no excuses speech. Maybe it'll go down as the no excuses speech, though. I've heard Barack Obama enough times to know that there was nothing really new there. He says that all the time. He said it at the Democratic convention. He said it many times. But a lot more people heard it this time, I guess. No excuses, says Barack Obama. We will continue, and I guarantee we will have a guest in 60 seconds.